there, this is Susie for Minya Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 355, a podcast that, well, puts it all together, that connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. We look at life through the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. And this Armodox look is yours for the taking. Sit back, relax, and get ready to take the next step. Good to have you with us today. I don't know where to start. There's so much to talk about and so much to share. Where do I begin? I'm going to share with you a little episode that happened last night. Actually, I wasn't expecting this, but it took place. I think I'll do that in the second portion. I'm going to tell you about the 100 Souls Project. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. It's going to be a great episode, just filled up with a lot of stuff. But let me start off with this, okay? I'm starting a new job, okay? And I hope that you will encourage me by coming to my brake shop. I am going to be servicing brakes. And yeah, the brakes on your car. You know, the ones that, you know, if you're going fast, you step on that pedal and all of a sudden it slows down. And you better make sure that those brakes are in good condition. Well, I want you to come to me for your brakes because guess what? I read a book. On how to fix brakes. I don't know. Would that qualify me to do your brakes? No. How about this? Okay. I'm going to start a new job. I'm going to be a brain surgeon. And my qualifications, guess what? I'm reading a book. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm reading a book about about brain surgery. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. This is a serious matter. If you need your brain worked on, hey, give me a call. My qualifications, I read a book. Would you come to me? Okay, where am I going with all of this? Well, let me go somewhere else with this too, okay? No. I'm not changing careers midstream. My tongue's in my cheek. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going somewhere with this, and this is where I'm going. How come when it comes to our spirituality, to our soul, to our spirit, how come we just listen to somebody who just read a book? Isn't that interesting? I had this conversation just a couple days ago. Somebody called me, and there was a question about baptizing her baby. And apparently some people in the family had told them that, hey, it's not biblical. And, you know, they've read the Bible. And I started thinking, you know, isn't this kind of weird? Like with everything else, you would never take your car to get your brakes fixed from somebody who just read a book about brakes. Right? You wouldn't have brain surgery from somebody who just read about brain surgery, right? Okay, there's a process by which they have learned their skill. But why is it that anybody can just read the Bible and all of a sudden become an expert? An expert on faith, an expert on religion, an expert on Christianity. Christ said this, Christ said that. How do you know Christ said that? How do you know Christ said that? Well, I read it in the Bible. What? The Bible? Yeah, it's a holy book. In fact, in Armodoxy, in Armenian Orthodoxy, it's called the Breath of God. The Breath of God. And yet, people just decide that, hey, the breath of God, hey, I'm just going to read it. And I'll figure it out. I know what it's all about. Oh, excuse me. I'll figure it out. I've already figured it out. I'm just really amazed because the more I think about this, it's really interesting how when it comes to something as precious as your soul, as precious as the human spirit, everything that we've learned, everything that we've discussed in ways of acquire that learning goes out the door. It's just, I read the Bible, and so all of a sudden, I'm an expert on it. You certainly wouldn't take your car to the mechanic who just read a book about fixing cars. Because you know why? You depend on your car. You depend when you press on that brake. It better stop. Otherwise, you're going to hit people. You're going to hit other cars. You're going to hit property. You're going to hit human beings. You better be sure when you press on that brake that those wheels bring you to a stop, right? That's something it goes without saying. Hey, you know, it goes without saying. You're taking your car to a mechanic and you're saying, I want my brakes fixed. You want it to work. And if by chance you need some kind of surgery or anything, you want the best out there. You want somebody who knows the stuff, not only has read a book, but has learned, has gone through a proper channel of study, and on top of it, has experienced something too, right? Yes, why do we have internships? Why do we have residency programs? Right? A doctor finishing up med school just doesn't come out and boom, start working. No, residency. Has to be an intern, has to follow along other physicians until he or she acquires the necessary skill set. And even then, when you're going to have surgery, you want to find out, is this your first one? Is this the first time you're holding a knife in your hand on your own? Or no, wait, you've done it 1,000 times? If you've done it 2,000 times, well, you have a little bit more experience, don't you? But when it comes to issues of the soul, okay, I read the book. I know what Jesus wants. I know what God is because I read a book. It's absurd. It's absurd. And this is what we're facing day in and day out. I'm just sharing this with you because it happens to me in my life. But this time, this week, it just hit me all of a sudden, like, what is the qualification by which this person is arguing against infant baptism? What is the qualification? They read in the Bible. Where did you read? I guess they didn't read the part about entire families, entire households were baptized. Oh, well, you know, there were no children in that household. Who told you? Jesus says, go into the world and baptize everyone. Well, you know, they have to be 12 years old, 13 years old. Where? Jesus says, go into the world and baptize everyone. Yes, children too. He says it, right? Everyone. There's no qualification. Well, you know what? This is the argument I got. We want to wait until she's 13 years old. Now you tell me something, okay? I'm asking you and I asked her too. At age 13, what do you really understand? I mean, you're going crazy at age 13 between the physical changes you're going through, your hormone imbalances, between the emotions that you have, the psychology of an adolescence is tremendous. And somehow they understand that they want to be a Christian at this point. Hey, at age 58, I'm still struggling with all kinds of things. Aren't you? And you know everything? But somehow, there's a qualification. I've read the book. I know what I'm doing. So anyway, don't get excited. And please, don't bring your card to me. Don't ask me to operate on your head. I'm not interested in doing any of that. I'm bringing a point. A point that is very important for us to remember. Armenian Orthodoxy, the Orthodox faith, the Orthodoxy that we follow, is a Jesus-based, not a Bible-based, but a Jesus-based faith. And before there was the Bible, guess what? There was the church. That's right. Bible just didn't fall out of heaven, all leather-bound, with the nice gold leaf on the side, with the red letters where Jesus was talking. No. Bible, there was a lot of struggle. After Jesus resurrected, how many years went by before even the Gospels were written? 20 years. Before the first Gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Yes, that short one. The Gospel of Mark was the first Gospel to be written. About the year, I think they date it to the year 50 or something, 50 or 60. At least a good 15 to 20 years after the resurrection. The Gospel of John was written way later, about in the 60s and 70s. A good 30, 35 years after the resurrection. Meanwhile, in all that time, guess what? People were coming to faith. People knew what Christ was about. People knew what Christianity was about. From how? Well, they were members of the Apostolic Church. Apostolic, I'm using in the generic sense, namely that the faith that the apostles were charged and empowered to distribute to people. So next time somebody comes up to you and, you know, thumbs a Bible at you and says, hey, you know, I read it over here and everything, take a deep breath. Understand that the faith that you have is something greater than words. It is a faith in the God of the universe, a God who revealed himself, not through words, but through his only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in turn, said, I will establish my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ did not write a Bible, didn't write anything as far as we know. But his teachings were recorded, and they were recorded and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and put together as what we call the Bible in due time. In fact, it wasn't until the 5th century, 419, when a small little gathering, a council, got together and finalized the books that were to be in what we call the Holy Bible. That's right, for 400 years, the church, the body of Christ, was functioning, bringing people to Christ, preaching the good news, offering salvation. For 419 years without a Bible. And guess what? Even after that, there was no printing press. The Bible was the official document of the church. It was read in church. It was expounded on by the church fathers. It was the church that used that Bible. The church produced the Bible and used it to get the message of hope and love and faith out to the people. And by the way, all the people that are Bible banging out there, and they should know that, you know, it was Martin Luther during the Protestant Reformation that decided, hey, some of the books don't belong in the Bible. Yeah. And not too many people know this. Because, again, we go into the local Barnes & Noble and we pick up a Bible. No. Did you know that the Old Testament, for instance, has more books in the Catholic tradition, Roman Catholic tradition, as well as in all the Eastern Orthodox traditions? Martin Luther took a few books out, what they call the Apocrypha. Apocrypha means the hidden books. Somehow these books were deemed by him not as holy as the other books. That's it. Cut it out. Here's the scissors. That's it. They don't belong in the Bible. Says who? Well, the church has maintained those books. They're not apocrypha to us. They're part of the canon of the church. And so, next time, especially this season, as we're getting closer to the resurrection, the feast of Easter, really think about it. What is faith based upon? Upon words? Upon interpretations of human beings? Or is it a living expression that has been passed down to us from Christ himself? Anyway, like I said, don't send me your cars. Don't put your head in front of me for surgery or anything like that, okay? I want you to just share with you some of the frustrations that this priest goes through. I'm going to go to the song of the day right now. I've picked out a song from Parik Nazarian. It's been a long time, I know, from the Cycle of Life, a long time ago album. Anyway, enjoy.
Hey, ru, hey, ru, hey, ru, hey, ru, hey, ru. Hey, ru, reni, mbaligin. Hey, ru, reni, u, ororim. Hey, ru, hey, ru. Hey, rurenim u ororim. Hey, rureirur ambaligin. Rurigenim durenans. Rurigenim durenas. Dumbas digis shudzorenas. Hey, rureirur, hey, rur, hey, rur. Dumbas digis shudzorenas. Hey, rureirur, ambaligin. Hey, rureirur, hey, rur, hey, rur, hey, rur. Hey, rurenim, imbaligin. Hey, rurenim, u, ororim. Hey, rureirur, hey, rur, hey, rur. Hey, rurenim, u, ororim. Hey, rureirur,
Parik Nazarian is the artist. I hope you enjoyed it. Something a little bit different. I know it is off of one of her first releases. I believe her first album, Cycle of Life. She's doing some other stuff recently, I've heard. And we'll look forward to having some of that in the future. But I wanted to pick this one out because where I am these days, especially with the 100th anniversary of the genocide coming out, I just love her voice. I love the way that she presents it. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it. We'll have a link on today's show notes so you could check out all the wonderful things that she puts together. Oh, As I said, this is the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide as a commemoration, and I talked quite a bit about it over the last few weeks, especially my comments last week. I guess it didn't go over too good with some of our listeners who said that maybe I was a little bit too hard with the cheapening remarks, but my reflection on what's going on, the cheapening remarks, but I still firmly believe that, especially considering all that's going on. I'm going to share with you some of the things that we're doing at InIssues, and in just a few moments, I'll share that with you coming up. But right now, I wanted to give it as a prelude an incident that took place last night, and it got me thinking about what this is all about. And specifically, I was called to be with a family who was dealing with the aftermath of a stroke. Their father had had a stroke, and we had gathered with the family, and we were discussing a few things, and I was sitting with the man there himself, and he had the stroke 6 months ago, and we've been praying for him, and I gotta tell you, he looked fantastic. I mean, if he had a stroke, it would be hard to tell, except for some minor little things that were going on with his hands, but otherwise his spirits were there, and he was talking with us, sharing a lot of the stories and reflecting on what happened to him. This is what I wanted to share with you, and I offer this not only as a prelude to the 100th Souls project that we're doing within InIssues, but also as a prelude to Holy Week. As you know, next week is Holy Week. It is the period from Saturday to Easter Sunday. It is a 9-day period, beginning with the remembrance of the resurrection of Lazarus that takes place this Saturday. And then Sunday, of course, is Palm Sunday, big festival. We have the Office of the Ten Maidens on Tuesday. On Thursday, there is the Institution of the Last Supper and the washing of the feet, a beautiful tradition established by Christ himself, who knelt down, and those same hands that, as St. Nerses Shnorhali tells us, those same hands that took the earth from the ground and created life, those hands were now wiping the earth, the dust, the dirt off of these feet of the creation, of his creation, in a gesture of humility. And he says, as Lord and teacher of you all, you revere me, you come to me and you call me Lord, and here I am washing your feet, think of what you must be doing to one another. And he calls us to that example of servicing and helping others. And then after that, on Thursday evening, we have the Order of Chavarim. And on Friday, the burial of Christ. And Saturday night is what's called Jirak Aluitz, or the Easter Eve service. And of course, Sunday is Easter. And why do I reflect on this? Because as part of the Orthodox tradition, we remember not only the life of Christ during that last week, but we actually walk through it with him. Okay, from Palm Sunday, when he enters into Jerusalem, from the washing the feet, the priest kneels down, the bishops kneel down, they wash the feet of others. From the Order of Darkness, not only do we recount the passion of our Lord, but we imagine a world without the light. I am the light of the world, he says, and now we are left in complete darkness. What is a world without Christ but complete darkness? And then on Friday, we have the burial of Christ, where we actually construct a tomb and we walk underneath it to leave our cares, leave our egos behind and bury them in that tomb. And so, in a sense, I bring this up because we actually walk with Christ during the Holy Week. And it is one of the most sacred times. And as a priest, I have to tell you, one of my most enjoyable weeks. As hard as it is, I usually am just so exhausted at the end of the week, but there is a strength that comes, and it's the strength of the soul and spirit that comes only from God, and I only accept this because I've lived through it, and I know that there is no other explanation for that strength but by the grace of God and the love of God that he puts in our hearts to walk with Christ during that Holy Week. Saying that, so last night I met with this man who had an interesting witness that he shared with me. He said that when he had a stroke, he was all but left for dead. They didn't expect him to come out of it. And here he was talking, even standing. I said a prayer, and he wouldn't even sit. He had a wheelchair, but he wouldn't sit on his wheelchair. He had to stand out of reverence for the prayer. And he said something interesting had happened to him while in the hospital, and that was the doctor who came up to him. I can't remember if it was a few weeks afterwards or a month after, but said that this is incredible that you're up and around. It's incredible because you weren't supposed to be like this. And the doctor, being a man of faith, turned to him and said, I know you are a man of faith. And he says, let me tell you what happened here. You had a stroke. You fell into a pit. And Jesus extended his arm to you. And this is the man telling me this. He says, Jesus extended his arm to me. And I grabbed it. And he pulled me out of the pit. He pulled me out of there. And I was just amazed at the faith that this man had and in the way that he expressed this story to me. There was absolutely no doubt in his mind of how he was saved from this event. He had had a stroke, and the stroke had left him paralyzed. There wasn't to be a normal life after that. And the person who saved him was Jesus. And I just marveled at the way he said it. He said, Jesus pulled me out of the pit. And I found a lot of strength because this is the Jesus that is liberator. This is the Jesus that is savior. This is the Jesus that is the physician of the physicians. And here we had it right there, right? The physician is telling him, Jesus pulled you out. And now the man was telling me, Jesus pulled me out of that pit. He said, Jesus, and this is the next part of it. He said, Jesus extends his hands. And it's up to us to grab that hand. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? The love of Christ is always there. The healing power of Christ is always there. But it requires us to consciously extend ourselves to grab that hand. It requires us to make that faith alive. And I think back on, you know, here we are, the 100th anniversary, on the countless people that I've met throughout my life who have shared their story of being in the pit of genocide. And the only thing that has saved them has been the love of Christ. I wear on my wrist a very precious, precious prayer that my grandmother gave to me. I shared this with you a few months ago when it was first given to me, this beautiful bracelet, engraving of my grandmother's prayer. It is the prayer from Saint Nerse Shnorhali. Imastutyun hor Hisus durin zimastutyun. Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me your wisdom. Jesus is liberator because he gives you that internal wisdom, that wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom that says that you are not the all, you are not the everything, but there is a power, there is something greater than you. Just today I was having a discussion with a lady in our parish who found it difficult to say, I don't go for all that bowing down and all that prostration, where you bow down and you kiss the ground and astudzo yergir bakesuk, you know, and why do we do all that? And I gave this explanation that, you know, all true religion, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever the religion may be, all try to remove the ego. And Jesus says this, you must pick up your cross and carry it if you want to follow me. You must lose yourself like a grain of wheat. Unless a grain of wheat dies and falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But in that dying, it produces its harvest. Think about that for a moment. And here my grandmother had given me this prayer. Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me your wisdom so that I may speak, think, and do that which is good in your sight. But what does that all mean? It means that there is something greater than you. It's losing yourself, losing the ego. Because if you think about it, the ego is the biggest obstacle of our getting ahead. The ego is the biggest problem that we face as human beings. This is the reason for wars, the reason for destruction. I mean, think about it. We have the capability today to feed the world, but we don't. Yeah, we do. We have the resources. We could feed the world, but there are still hungry in the world. Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me your wisdom. And here was this man telling me that the one who pulled him out of the pit was Jesus. He extends his arm to you, and it's up to you to take it. Now, I want to juxtapose this story next to the Holy Week story. Because next week, as we walk with Christ during the Passion, Jesus is extending his arm to us in a different way. He's asking for help. Yes, all-powerful God, omnipotent, means all forever potent, completely potent, all-strong, omnipotent God, is walking down the path to destruction. He's going and taking a path to the cross. And the God that we worship is actually nailed to a cross. In a gesture of love, in a gesture of sacrifice, in a gesture of giving. And you can imagine that during that week that we remember today as Holy Week, Jesus extending his arm. And this time, not to pull us out of the pit, but extending it so that we would grab that hand and pull him out. Help him. And our arms are not there. We let him go to the cross. We let him walk that path. We watch that destruction. We see humanity nailing him to the cross. And I want you to think beyond the metaphors that you're accustomed to hear at Easter time, because this is not about a story 2,000 years ago. This is about right now. The Jesus that is all around us. Because we watch the story unfold in front of us. The Passion of the Christ. Going to the cross. What does Jesus tell us? He says, I was hungry and you didn't give me food. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a glass of water. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was ill and you didn't pray for me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. And people say, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? I mean, think about it. Yeah, if Jesus is thirsty, of course we're going to give him water. You know, if he's naked, of course we're going to go pick out a suit. He says, when you didn't do it to the least of my brothers, you didn't do it to me. And there it is. He's equating himself with humanity, with the least of his brothers. You didn't do it to me. You didn't extend your hand to me. All powerful, omnipotent God is looking for us to extend our hands, not to come out of a pit, but this time to help our brothers and sisters come out of their pit, because we are out of our pit. Now we have an obligation to others. And with that, this year, we decided that on the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, rather than just commemorate a genocide, we'd do something to help stop a genocide. A genocide that's taking place all around us. And I want you to listen very carefully to this part because this is important. I need your help. 2015 is the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And everybody's commemorating and they have beautiful art shows. They're talking about the resurrection of the Armenian people. And that's beautiful. That's something we've been doing for years, you know. Now we've got to talk about ascension. At this 100th anniversary, let's make a pledge that we will help others. Because you know what's going to happen? After the 100th anniversary, you know what's going to happen? I'll give you a guarantee. It's going to be 101 years. And then it'll be 102 years. And people look at history and they say, okay, it's history. But it's got to be real in our lives today. And so we have projects. And I'm going to ask all of you to get involved in this. I want you to go to our website, inissues.org. Right at the top, you'll see something that says 100 souls in issues. We want to put our souls into the shoes of others by helping others. And we have projects, and I'm going to list them off right now. They are Darfur. You know that there's a genocide going on right now in Darfur. Very similar to the Armenians in that the world knows about it and nobody cares about it. Nobody's doing a thing about it. We're having a 30-hour fast for Syria. In Syria, every day we hear about tragedies. We're going to be fasting over here. 1915, we had to go hungry against our will. Today, thank God, we're not hungry. Do we have an obligation to others who are hungry? We're going to be fasting and collecting money that we can send to Syria to help our brothers and sisters over there. We have landmines in Artsakh. That's Nagorno-Karabakh. Until today, they are maiming and killing people. Over 20 years after the war, these are landmines that have just been sitting there. And so we're going to have a special project for that. You could sign up with that. You can go to our website, inissues.org, and sign up and say that, you know, it's the 100th anniversary. Instead of commemorating, instead of just remembering, I'm going to do something to help other people. We have plight of children. Do you know that we've partnered with Merhuis? I want it so that we can support these children who are involved in trafficking. Little kids being taken away. Prostitution. Yeah. They're being sold. Hey, it's all over. Human trafficking. How about the plight of abused women? Our dear friends in Australia, I am so proud of them. I am so proud of what they're doing over there. They're commemorating a genocide in real terms. I'm going to read to you off of the flyer. It says, following the Armenian Genocide of 1915, Australian churches came to the aid of displaced Armenians in need by contributing to the global humanitarian relief efforts. 100 years on, the Armenian Apostolic Church of Holy Resurrection in Sydney will walk in the shoes of those in need of donating and serving lunch on Friday, April 24th, to disadvantaged Australians who patron the Exodus Foundation's Loaves and Fishes free restaurant. Can you believe that? Starving Armenians are feeding people. So proud of them. There's our art projects, which is taking place between the 15th and 24th. It is a living portal experience. Talking about what really matters, the faith that the people have. We have local area relief projects. All you need to do is get on inissues.org right now. Go to the 100 Souls in Issues page And first of all, take the pledge over there. It's very simple. Put in your name. You put in your email address. Yeah, all the usual stuff. We're not going to sell your name or anything. But we do want to stay in contact with you. Okay, that's fair, right? And then go ahead. Put your name in it. And then press the sign now. You're pledging that instead of just remembering, you're going to do something about it. You'll see a picture of me. I'm standing with a Darfuri refugee. I'm standing with a Darfuri refugee who's got a t-shirt on with the message. Instead of commemorating, instead of remembering a genocide, how about stopping one? Do you need a Darfuri refugee to tell you that? Isn't it obvious that a hand has been extended to us and saying help? And now we need to reach out and grab that hand. We need to grab that hand and help it by providing. And so please get on our website and make your pledge today. It's an important pledge. Because, you know, one day you're going to have to talk about this. You're going to say at the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, I went to the Turkish consulate and I threw stones at them. People are going to look at you and say, what? Or you're going to be able to stand up and say, you know, it's the 100th anniversary. My grandmother walked through the desert saying, Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me your wisdom. And I have that wisdom now. I've taken that wisdom and I've transferred it into help, into love, into caring, into loving others. And I'm going to show that. The 100 souls in his shoes is that hand that you're reaching out to. Jesus on the other side. Omnipotent God, all-powerful God, is hurting right now. Is naked and needs clothing. Is thirsty and needs a drink. Is hungry and needs food. Is in prison and needs a visit. Is ill and needs healing. And he's asking us. We've been through a genocide. We have resurrected. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about the genocide either, right? Just as there's no doubt about the resurrection. It's happened. And it continues to happen. Where love is what motivates us. Where love is what makes us who we are. By this, they will know that you are my children, says Jesus. That you love one another. It's very clear. You could read all the Bibles you want. You could thumb through everything you want. You can do the baptism routine. And you could argue how many angels are on the head of a pin. But until you go out there and you love, until you extend your arm and help that Jesus who is hurting right now, it's not going to mean a thing. That's Armadoxy for today. Listen, I need you to also get involved with this ministry. I'm telling you this, I'm going through so much really laughable things on this 100th anniversary. Here's something that's very real. Here's Susie to tell you about In His Shoes, about this ministry, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. I know you've heard it how many times over here, and we keep repeating it. It's a very important message. Because, like I said, you know, I'm in charge of the 100th anniversary commemoration for our diocese. And because of that office, I'm getting all kinds. I get every day briefings on all the activities that are taking place. Let me tell you, In His Shoes is so unique. And one of the mistakes that we've made as In His Shoes is we've been ahead of the game in about 10 years. Trust me, in 10 years, people are going to catch up with this because they're just now doing what, you know, what we've been talking about. You know, we're not, it's not a sorrowful day today. Today is a day of rejoicing. You rejoice at the resurrection. You don't remember Good Friday and celebrate that. You celebrate the resurrection. And God has been good to us. God has been good to you. And just by the fact that you're listening to a podcast, mean you're connected somehow, right? By the modern technology, you have access. Now's the time to give to others. And In His Shoes is a very concrete way of giving back. In His Shoes is a very concrete way of extending that hand to others. It's walking in the shoes of others. And in very beautiful Armenian terms, tsavat danem. Let me feel your pain. Let me know what's happening to you so that I can help. In His Shoes is that help out there. Listen, also, with everything I talked about, let me repeat that, okay? Get on inhisshoes.org. Go to the 100 Souls page. Sign the pledge and promise that you'll do one of those things. Go down at the bottom. There's tabs that tell you about each of the projects and how you can get involved. And take an example from our Australian brothers and sisters on the other side of the globe. Yeah, upside down. You know what it means? It means the blood's rushing to their head a lot quicker. It means they're a lot more awake than the rest of us are, where the blood's rushing to our feet. Yeah, the blood is necessary. It's circulating in there. Oh, no, I just told you I wasn't doing brain surgery. But that's beautiful, isn't it, that they're doing something like this? And we can do that throughout the world. I want you to take the initiative. Go out there. Support. Be somebody that's going to make a difference so that genocide is not something that you commemorate, but it's something that you remember by doing to others. It has a meaning in your life today that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents went through all this tribulation and it wasn't for anything. It's to show the world that there is resurrection, and beyond resurrection, there is ascension. I'm going to leave you with these thoughts, and I look forward to seeing you. We have a beautiful Holy Week coming up this week. Get involved in your Armenian church. Live out the expression of Holy Week by walking with Christ, being with Christ at all the stations, extending your hand in help and support to others. God bless you all. I look forward to being with you next week when it'll be Holy Thursday. It'll be Great Thursday, and we'll have a very special podcast next week. But in the meantime, get involved with us at all the usual stops, epostle.net, as well as Facebook. All of us have little presences up there, and you can connect with us, and I'd love to hear from you. feedback@epostle.net. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and a very special shout out for Ani, who put together that beautiful website where you can get involved with In His Shoes. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join me again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
off, but I'm top with it.